Hey, what's up, you guys? It's Andrea.
And Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. So, before we get started on part two of the Springfield 3, if you are alive in the world, I'm sure you know that there have been some pretty big developments in the Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie case. Haley and I have been following it pretty, pretty closely, especially Haley. She's been like on top of it. Everyone, I feel like, is waiting for the ball to drop, and it has dropped. So,
yeah. So Brian, yesterday, October 20th, remains were found in the Carlton Reserve. Now, this was found shortly after Chris and Roberta Laundrie, who are Brian Laundrie's parents, went to the reserve to search. And according to their lawyer, they had decided the night before that now that the Carlton Reserve was open to the public, that they wanted to go search. The lawyer informed law enforcement, just letting them know, and apparently law enforcement met them there. While they were there searching, we're not really sure what exactly happened. There's some footage of it, but it's still pretty unclear. But while they were there, Chris Laundrie found a bag, like a wet bag, and apparently, like, knew that it was Brian's. So then after that, law enforcement started searching, and this is an area that they had searched before.
For a month. Not that specific area, but, like, the whole reserve.
Yeah. And this specific area was an area that Brian liked to go to, and that's why Chris and Roberta were searching there, which they had told law enforcement before this. So they're searching. They found that law enforcement continues to search. They go home. Law enforcement searches and finds a backpack and journal belonging to, or notebook belonging to Brian, along with partial human remains. So that was yesterday. They didn't identify yesterday. They didn't share much. And then today, October 21st, at first, they shared that the remains were skeletal remains, so like bones, and then they shared that there was a partial skull, and then they shared that it has been confirmed through dental records that the remains belong to Brian Laundrie. So, we don't know cause of death, we don't know manner of death, we don't know how long he's been out there. We do know that, or it sounds like, he was very decomposed, which I've looked it up, and water can speed up decomposition, especially when you're in an area with a lot of animals and bugs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's Florida, so it's still hot.
Yep. But yeah, so now the likelihood of us knowing what happened to sweet Gabby is very low. Her family is obviously going through an extremely difficult time right now. Mm-hmm. And she will never get full justice in my eyes.
No justice, no peace. Yep.
It's better he's dead than out there, you know, like Casey Anthony. There's at least... I've gotten this comment multiple times.
No, yeah. I mean,
you know, like, at least he's not out there. And because who knows, they might have been able to, you know, try to say he was innocent. Who knows where a trial would have gone.
That's true.
So that is the positive. But, of course, it would have been way better to see him rot in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, if he allegedly did this, this is all alleged. We don't know for sure. But we do know that Gabby was murdered. And Brian took... Well, we don't know that he took his life. But we...
That's the speculation.
...know that he is no longer alive. And I don't know if we're ever going to get a cause of death. If it was really just skeletal remains, we may never know. So, yeah, that's the big update. We hope that there is a full investigation into both of their deaths. And that the parents will be questioned just about what they know?
Absolutely. They know more than they're telling police. I fully, with my whole heart, believe that.
I think so, too. I definitely think it was suspicious that police, the FBI, spent, what was it, like $1.2 or $1.5 million in the search over the last 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they open the Carlton Reserve to the public, and then the next day the parents and go and boom. Find something.
Yeah.
So.
That's super suspicious, and it's too convenient. It's just too convenient for me to be like, oh, yeah, this is great. Oh, yeah, I believe it.
I agree.
So,
yeah, that's the update in that case. And honestly, I was really angry when I first heard it, of course. But I'm kind of, like, harnessing that anger into we need to continue to make a difference for so many people who are missing and people who were murdered who don't have justice.
Yeah.
So, you know, take this energy. Brian doesn't deserve our energy and time. Of course, we want justice for Gabby as well, but we can put this in this energy into other cases that need to be solved in honor of Gabby. You know, her parents want her legacy to live on and to create something positive out of this terrible, awful situation. And so Andrea and I will continue to share missing persons cases on our Instagram, on our personal Instagrams, on TikTok. You know, we're going to do as much as we can. And we tend to cover a lot of unsolved cases. It's just our nature.
Yeah.
So, you know, and all of you guys listening, whenever you see a missing person poster, just share it. And if you don't want to share it, just stare at it a couple extra seconds to memorize the photo. And if you're in the area, think back to things you might have seen or heard. You just never know. And so, you know, in honor of Gabby, take a couple extra seconds anytime you see a missing person poster or information about them, and you know, you really can make a difference.
Yeah. Part of me wishes, or hopes, I guess I should say, that maybe in that stuff that they found, there's going to be some type of confession letter or some type of recounting of events. Because, you know, he sounds like a textbook narcissist and he was really into writing. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to salvage it, since all that, the remains and the backpack were found where water had been.
Where water was, yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, we can hope. You know, I mean, a lot of people thought he was too narcissistic to take his own life. And I mean, we don't know for sure that that's what happened, but he definitely wasn't out on the run. So who knows? There might be a confession. At first, I was like, there's no way, but there very, very well may be. So we can hope, and we can keep Gabby's family in our thoughts and prayers, and we Absolutely. Can continue to do everything we can to make a difference. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
Yeah.
I feel like I just like word vomited.
No, I mean, it needs to be shared. And like, I mean, I'm sure most of our listeners are on top of it and know what's going on. But, you know, there may be people who have no idea that there has been such a big break, I guess you could say, in the case.
Yeah.
So that's part of our duty as,
yeah.
Podcasters, true crime podcasters, I feel like.
Yeah.
Whether it's this case or another case, like, if we know something, we want to share it with you guys.
Absolutely. And on a little bit of a lighter note, Andrea, I haven't told you this yet because it literally was just happening, like, before we got on to record, but a bunch of people, I was on TikTok live before this, just talking about Brian Laundry, and a bunch of people were commenting how much they were loving the podcast. And Aww. So many people were saying, like, oh, I just listened to this episode or that episode. And it just means so much
that you guys
are listening. And you don't know how much it means when you, like, tell us, oh, I just listened to this episode, or you shared on your stories, or, like, comment on our posts or message us. It really like, just you means really, so yeah. much.
You guys really have no idea how much it means to us. Like, I'm about to cry.
Why am I gonna cry?
Damn pregnancy hormones. Because we, you know, despite what some people may think, we do work hard at what we do, and we do take a lot of time to research these cases, and we want to make a difference. And
Yeah.
That's that may not be like the whole reason that we started, but that's definitely like come to fruition for both of us, I feel like. And that's why we do what we do. So we really appreciate all the feedback and everyone taking 40 minutes to an hour out of their day to listen.
Yeah. No, it really means so much. And literally anytime we get a new review or a message or anything, we'll text each other, like depending on who sees it, we'll text each other and be like, oh my gosh, look at this message. And it really just means so much. So thank you to everybody who listens and who has messaged us and just is supporting us. We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we do.
So that's probably the longest intro we've ever had. But
what
I am
is it,
freaking
12 minutes in? 13?
Yeah, literally. Well, we spent a good couple minutes like trying to figure our shit out. So
that's true.
But still, that's really long, and I am so freaking excited to get into this, the rest of this case.
Okay. Well, let's jump right to it then.
Woohoo.
So on the last episode, we talked about, you know, the girls, Stacy, Susie, and Cheryl's lives a little bit. We talked about graduation and the day that they all went missing. And we started to kind of, you know, surface cover the beginning of, I guess, the investigation. But this part of it, we're going to dive into the investigation more. And we're also going to go through, like, theories and suspects and all that good stuff.
And this is, like, the part that's so interesting, you know, looking into all that stuff. And I know with your psychology degree, you, like, probably dove right in, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay, so the days following the girls' disappearance, or the women, I say girls and women, like, kind of back and forth throughout, but they were women. They had several days of rain, so right after they went missing, there was, like, several days of rain.
That's not good.
I know. That puts a damper on the whole situation as far as like searching, because it's really hard to search in the rain, especially in the Ozarks, which is like where they were basically, like the Ozark Mountains and forests and all that.
Right.
Janice, who if you will remember is Stacy McCall's mother, she put up missing flyers all over town. There's actually one missing flyer that's still up in a local restaurant / bar.
Oh, wow.
Even after all this time, because the owner of that restaurant promised Janice that he would never take it down until the girls were found.
Oh, my God. Is it the same one that she put up that day?
Yeah, it's the same flyer.
Wow. Yep.
In the beginning, Janice didn't feel super confident that the police were doing everything in their power to investigate her daughter's disappearance. They had a 30-person team investigating what they knew so far. They did an area-wide search. They dredged lakes, rivers, and they even sought out on horseback into the Ozark Mountains looking for the women.
And she still didn't feel like it was enough?
I think it was, yeah, I mean, the way that I understood it was that it was delayed, and so many people were just not convinced that they were really in danger or in harm, like, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like maybe she felt like they weren't taking it like super seriously, but they eventually did, you know, put together this 30-person team to investigate, and then they, like I said, they went into the Ozark Mountains and dredged like lakes and rivers in the area, because there's tons of that, because it's like huge nature area.
Right.
The residences of Springfield also helped in the search. They racked their brains for any information they may have known or overlooked or forgotten about. Kind of like you were saying at the beginning of this, like, even if you just stare at a missing person's flyer and try to remember, like, those faces.
Right.
Maybe if you think back to what you did, the grocery store, who you saw, the gas station, whatever, like, you never know. You might have seen these people. It didn't take long for the case to pick up national media coverage. The police department took tons and tons of tips from the public, and they pursued every single one.
Wow.
That you know, was justified in looking into more.
Right.
There was one tip claiming that the girls had gone to a local diner and met up with three guys, and that Susie appeared to be intoxicated. So I read in two different sources that it was just Susie and Stacy that were at this diner. But then another source said it was all three women, so even her mother,
Okay.
which I thought was kind of odd.
Yeah, I find it odd, especially if her mom wasn't known for like doing that type of
Like
thing.
hanging out with her daughter, her teenage daughter.
Right.
So this information didn't make a lot of sense to investigators because, like I mentioned during part one, the girls' clothing, purses, and Susie's cigarettes had all been left at home. Surely, if the girls had come back to Susie's and then decided to go grab food, they would have at least taken their purses. You know, they got to
Yeah,
pay for
no,
their meal.
yeah.
And Susie definitely would have taken her cigarettes because, like, I'm thinking like
Yeah.
Waffle House, 1 o'clock in the morning,
Right.
smoking cigarettes, eating waffles and bacon, whatever.
But like, no matter how drunk you were, you would prob almost 100% likely would remember to bring like your wallet or something. You wouldn't just like walk out without your purse. And
Right.
like their cars were there, so it's not like they could have driven somewhere. Like,
Yeah. And why go there first? Or why go home first and then go out?
right.
Yeah. There was also a tip from a local gas station attendant who claimed to have seen the girls earlier in the night, but that tip was also dismissed because friends who had been with the girls that night said that they never went to that gas station. So the time
Okay.
frame for that didn't match up. So already, people are like, oh yeah, I saw him, I saw him, I saw him.
Right.
Which can like muddy the case a little bit. There was also an eyewitness who claimed to have seen an old green Dodge van, like old, old. I'll put a picture on our Instagram of this van in
Okay.
Cheryl and Susie's neighborhood. The neighbor claimed that the person driving looked a lot like Susie.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and they said that there was like at least two men in the van.
And like you've said before that this is a neighborhood where like everybody knows everyone. So people would
Yeah.
recognize if like this was a van that wasn't normally there.
Right. And that's kind of why they called this in, is because it wasn't a familiar car from the neighborhood.
Okay.
The police department went as far, this is crazy. The police department went as far as buying a van that looked like the van that the eyewitness saw, and they parked it in front of the police department asking, they literally put a sign on it asking for anyone who had seen a van similar to that one to call police with any information.
Oh my God.
I was like, way to go. Like, you guys are doing the most.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, not much came from that information line or from the eyewitness tip.
Damn.
The police began digging into Cheryl's past to see if there was anything out of sorts that could lead to a tip in the case. From all accounts, Cheryl was a good worker. She had many clients at the hair salon. She was fun-loving, and she seemed to be a really good mom. One of her coworkers said that like she would bake cookies and bring them into the hair salon and give them to like everybody, and she was always there for her daughter. Like if she had to take off work to, do this or that, she was always there. However, there were a lot of rumors that fluttered around about Cheryl, but those that knew her knew that those rumors could not possibly be true. Therefore, I will not discuss them any further because it was all hearsay and nothing was factual.
Okay.
There was another theory that Susie and Cheryl were possibly targeted because they were involved in a criminal case of three men who had broken into a mausoleum and had stolen the gold fillings out of the mouth of the dead who were buried there.
Ew.
One of these young men was the ex-boyfriend of Susie, and I believe his name was Mike.
Okay.
So there was like a lot of speculation that they were going to have to testify against these men, which I don't know why, because it's not like they were involved in the case, but like maybe character witnesses or something.
Right.
And people thought like maybe they knew that they weren't going to give them a good witness statement and
Right.
kidnap them, but I don't know. Doesn't really add up to me.
Okay.
There are many, many theories as to what happened to Cheryl, Susie, and Stacy. Police received a tip that the women had been buried under a hospital parking lot. There was even a petition for law enforcement to dig up the parking lot.
Oh my
And
God.
there was a a psychic who was involved, and she, I guess, hired an engineer to come out, and he used ground-penetrating radar. Allegedly, he did find three objects that he claimed were consistent with a burial site, aka bodies.
Okay.
However, the building and the parking lot weren't built until a year after the women went missing.
But couldn't they have been buried there when it happened and then it was built over it?
So what people that believed this theory thought that the women had been kept somewhere else and then buried there after the fact, because they hadn't even started construction until after a year after they went missing. Okay. But no one really, like the SPD, like the Springfield Police Department, like they did not believe that information was credible, because how would someone get away with keeping three bodies for a year somewhere?
Right.
Which, you know, I can kind of get behind that, because it would be hard enough to do one person, but three people.
But do they not think that they could have just been buried like in that site? Like, oh, wherever you mean it was? Like,
yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Like, they could have been buried there previously, and then they just happened to build a parking lot over it.
Right, like if it was like an abandoned empty lot or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. They didn't find it credible for whatever reason. Okay. Which I'm like, ground penetrating radar, I feel like that's pretty accurate.
At least, like, go and look into that and do your own search. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like it was just him being like, I sensed something. Like, he...
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, not that that's what psychics do, but... And he wasn't a psychic. He was actually an engineer. He was just hired by a psychic. On that note, though, another theory is that the women were abducted by aliens. People believe this to be true because... they just vanished into thin air without a trace. No. I'm not laughing because, like, I know a lot of people believe in aliens. And I'm like, I don't know. Gray area for me. No pun intended. But.
I think there's something else out there. Some other life form out there. I just, in this case, and in other cases, like, in Bryce LaSpisa, a lot of people think he was abducted by aliens. Like,
yeah.
I just have trouble saying, yeah, that's what happened.
Right. Because it's like there's no other logical explanation. So you have to think like otherworldly, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like the detective who said that they were raptured, right. You know? Like,
right.
I mean, it just, nothing else adds up. So you have to like get creative, and that's pretty creative.
Yeah.
Okay. So this last theory, I'm just going to give a trigger warning. It's not graphic in any way, but it's kind of sad. And this is like the last kind of like major theory in the case. And it's called the Camp Winoka sighting, which is a camp that was local to that area.
Why does Camp Winoka sound familiar?
Have you ever been to the Ozarks? I don't know.
No.
All
right. I'm sure it's just...
it's probably, like, a former reservation. So, I was reading on the Sleuth website. Sorry, I know, not a credible source. But they were talking about a lot of mysterious things happen at this Camp Winoka. And, like, I guess they, at one point in time, they had a Girl Scout camp there. And I guess, like, Girl Scouts got killed or...
oh, my God.
Went missing or something. There's just like a lot of seedy things that happen in this area.
Okay.
This will be another one. But allegedly a 15-year-old boy had been visiting his family close by, and he had snuck out with his friend, and they went to Camp Winoka. They were deep in the woods when they saw a van approach. Three men got out of the van, and with them were three terrified women. The women were begging for their lives. The boys were hiding. And they saw them all get murdered after being sexually assaulted. Then the three men took the bodies and left. So this was written on a blog post. This 15-year-old boy wrote about it on a blog post. I don't know how old he was when he actually wrote it. And then he actually went on to say that the events of that night affected his friend so greatly that he took his own life.
Oh my God.
So a lot of people think that this is potentially credible. And there's even investigators in the case who think that this is the most credible theory of all. Okay. But they have absolutely no proof, except for eyewitness. And they don't even know if it was those girls because it was so dark. They couldn't see the women.
Wow. Okay.
There have been several persons of interest in these three women's disappearance. One of them being Cheryl's son, which is also Susie's brother, Bart. Evidently, Bart had gotten into a lot of legal trouble before and after his mother and sister had gone missing. However, I think the police felt that he was acting out due to the fact that, number one, his father had basically ran out on their family, and he was now dealing with the guilt and mourning the loss of his mom and sister, all of which I could totally see causing a person not to make the best decisions.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of elaboration as to what exactly he did, but, you know, he got in trouble with the law and, like, had issues with drugs and stuff.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, Susie's ex-boyfriend Mike was also a person of interest, but police didn't seem to think that three young men could pull off kidnapping and getting rid of three women's bodies, potentially, without any evidence, seeing as they couldn't even rob a grave without getting caught.
True.
So they were suspects, but they were not suspects for very long.
Okay.
Another potential suspect was Steve Garrison. This poor excuse of a human told police that a friend of his had confessed to killing the three women during a party. He told police information unknown to the public that led investigators to serve three search warrants at two sites in Webster County. He claimed they would find the women's bodies and clues about their abduction and deaths at these locations.
Okay.
He also stated that the green van believed to be used to take the women could be found about 12 miles away from said location.
Huh.
However, there is no evidence linking Garrison to the crime, and of course, no bodies or evidence were found at these locations, these undisclosed locations.
But he did say something
that wasn't
public knowledge.
Right. And we don't know what that is, unfortunately. Okay. So Garrison is currently serving 40 years in prison for raping, sodomizing, and terrorizing a female Springfield college student, which he committed this crime in the summer of 93, just a year after the three women went missing.
What a just disgusting person.
Yeah. So they felt like he was a good contender for this, but again, he got caught for doing this to someone. Like, how could he get away with disappearing three women? Another potential suspect was Carnahan. He was briefly considered a suspect due to the nature of his crimes, but was pretty quickly ruled out due to there being no evidence to tie him to the disappearance of the three missing women.
Okay.
I just threw that in there because it was in the notes.
Right. It sounds like in the Madeline McCann case when there were like a million suspects along the way that there was just no evidence linking them.
Right. So the last potential suspect was, and is, I guess, Robert Craig Cox. Cox was convicted of raping and killing a 19-year-old Florida woman. Her name was Sharon Zellers, who he intercepted while she was driving home from work. And guess where she worked? Disney World.
Oh, no.
I know. In 1978. Unfortunately, the case was weak, and Cox was not charged until eight years after the murder.
Oh, wow.
Cox and his family were staying at a motel in Orlando near where the victim's body was found. He had bit off his tongue, essentially, bit off the tip of his tongue, and police found hair and blood samples near the victim and in her vehicle that were compatible with Cox's. Because, again, you know, it's like the 80s or whatever at this point.
Right.
Cox, who lived in Springfield the summer of 1992, walked away from death row in 1989 after the Florida Supreme Court said the jury did not have enough evidence to convict him of this murder. Yeah.
Isn't that up to the jury?
Not when it comes to the Supreme Court. I think the Supreme Court has precedence over...
So, why the hell does the Supreme Court care about
this
guy?
Yeah. I don't know. Not enough evidence? That his blood and his hair were there. What do you mean?
Right. What the fuck?
So crazy. After he was released, he was immediately taken into custody to complete a prison sentence in California for an unrelated 1985 kidnapping.
Okay.
And then he returned to his hometown of Springfield, Missouri. And like I mentioned, he would have been in the area in 1992 when the three women went missing.
Okay.
It was also alleged that Cox worked at a car dealership that was owned by Stacy's father.
Interesting. Okay.
There is speculation that they never crossed paths, but I don't know.
Right.
He also had a very loose alibi for the morning the women went missing. Do you hear
Annie?
That?
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing. He needs to be in bed. It's like almost 9. In 1995, so this fucker just keeps getting let off for everything under the sun. In 1995, he was finally arrested for holding a gun on a 12-year-old girl during a robbery in Decatur, Texas.
Well, I know there's a Decatur, Illinois.
Okay, well, there's a Decatur, Texas. There I don't know go. Why I put an N in there. I'm, like, thinking about wine or something. I don't know. And he is currently, thank the Lord, serving a life sentence for that robbery and is not eligible for parole until 2025, which I still will never understand why they call it a life sentence if they're eligible for parole ever.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Also, 2025 is not that far away.
Yeah. That's like 4 years away.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will not get it based on all these other things, because even though he was dismissed or whatever and found not guilty or whatever, they need to take all that stuff into consideration.
So I have a question, and you probably won't know the answer to this either, but if he was so like double jeopardy is a thing.
Right.
But if he was charged by a jury and then the Supreme Court overturned it, can they not do another trial because the Supreme Court just said, no, he's not involved? Or did the Supreme Court say, based on this trial, the jury did not have enough evidence? Because then it would feel like a mistrial.
So the way I understand it is if you are convicted of the crime, which I think he initially was, they cannot recharge you for the same crime. Regardless. Okay. Regardless.
Because it wouldn't be a mistrial because he was actually convicted.
He was tried. Because I think a mistrial has to be like called before
I'm drawing a blank.
Defendant?
Too.
No. Defendant?
No.
Covenant?
conviction?
The person, the criminal, is tried.
Defendant.
But it's a word with a C that's not criminal. I don't know. I'm ready for bed.
I can't think of it either. Okay. Whatever. You guys know what we're talking about.
Okay. No wonder people think we're dumb. Anyway. We're not, I promise. It's just late. Well, it's not even late for you, but you worked all day and it's late here. So that's our story and we're sticking to it.
All I can think about is the Raising Cane's I'm going to get when we're done, so.
Okay.
Okay.
Through the years, Cox has toyed with Springfield police, saying he knows the women are dead and that they're buried near the city. His former girlfriend also recanted her statement, which proved Cox lied about his alibi on the morning the women went missing. So like I said, he had a loose alibi and she pretty much recanted everything she said.
Okay.
Cox also claimed that he would come forward with what actually happened to the women once his mother was no longer alive.
Interesting.
A little fun fact about Mr. Cox. Mr. Cox sucker. Sorry. Anyway. He was formerly in the Army, and he was also an Army Ranger.
Ooh.
And police believe that he would know how to stay calm in a heavy situation, because when he was being questioned by investigators, he was like super calm, super cool, super collected, and he would kind of like take control of the conversation, which that's like psychopath, like I don't know.
It's like BTK, like.
Yeah, like,
oh,
yeah.
Jeez, okay.
Police believe that the profile for this case and whoever did this was in it to harm these women, either randomly or purposefully. Robbery obviously doesn't seem to be the call, since their purses, jewelry, and money were untouched.
Yeah.
Because later they realized that Cheryl had like $130 in cash in her purse.
Okay.
Because it's like the 90s. Everybody had cash back then. They believe that Cheryl or Susie must have been the target, since it was their home and Stacy was just unfortunately in the wrong place at the wrong time. They also believe it was someone who didn't know Susie's plan for that evening, since she had planned to sleep away from home.
Okay.
Or it was someone who saw Susie and Stacy that night and decided to follow them home.
Okay.
There's also the case of how could three women be taken by one person? Was it more than one person? Or would it be easy to subdue Susie and Stacy if Cheryl was already taken? And, you know, maybe. They're teenagers, they're scared. I could see that.
Yeah.
The Springfield Police Department has had other experts of cold cases, such as the FBI, look at the files, but nothing new has come from those fresh set of eyes taking a look. Police refer to this case as the perfect crime, due to there being no leads, no real evidence, and no concrete suspects.
Yeah.
There are a slew of unanswered questions when it comes to this case. How can three grown women just disappear without a trace?
Mm-hmm.
In 1997, Cheryl and Susie were legally declared deceased. However, as of 2021, the case of the three missing women is still open and cold, and Cheryl Levitt, Susie Streeter, and Stacy McCall are still considered missing.
Wow.
Yeah. So before I close the story, I just have two little tidbits of information that I didn't know where to kind of stick in to all of this.
Okay.
The first one being that there was a... Can you hear them? They're like so freaking
loud. I can.
Oh, gosh. Sorry, guys. That's my child. There was a missing woman named Cassidy Rainwater who disappeared in a similar area to the Springfield Three. I think it was like a couple towns over, not actually in Springfield. And the armchair detectives, the sleuths, they feel like it is related to the Springfield Three case based on there being rumors that the van that was seen.
Yeah.
Are allegedly seen at Cheryl and Susie's house was also seen in relation to this, to Cassidy's case. However, everything is just speculation. Nothing has been confirmed. And, I mean, it would be great if this would lead to everyone getting found. But yeah, as of right now, it's just all hearsay and speculation.
Right.
The last thing, and this is going to kind of, like, rock everybody's socks a little bit, but if you remember at the beginning of the story, when I talked about them disposing of the glass that was on the porch.
Right.
And they disposed of it to the neighbors who happened to be a dentist's office.
Yeah.
So I listened to the last episode of that podcast that I was listening to. It was called The Springfield Three. I will have it linked in the show notes below. But they actually received a message from the daughter of the dentist, who says that her father did see that green van that evening and the day before, and that it was
Oh.
actually parked. I believe it was parked on his property, but it was like towards the back, so you wouldn't be able to see it from the front of the home.
Okay.
And that's really all that we know about that as of right now. But I'm gonna
Hopefully, police are
continue.
investigating.
Yeah, I'm gonna continue to keep an eye on that podcast because I think her name is Annie. I'm sorry if I don't remember your name, but the host, I think her name is Annie. She said that they're gonna have more episodes coming out as things hopefully progress, even if it
Okay.
goes nowhere. But I just wanted to add that in because I thought that was very
That's interesting.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Wow. Okay.
that is the case of the Springfield Three. They are still missing. I did post some pictures of them, but when this episode goes live, I will post like some age progression pictures.
Okay.
Because Susie and Stacy would be 47 and 48 now, and Cheryl would be like in her 70s. And then I'll post like a picture of the house so you can get like a better visual of like how that all went
Yeah.
down. But otherwise, for now, that's all we have on that case. Hopefully, there will be some developments sooner than later.
Wow.
And if there are, of course, we will keep you guys updated. But
Yeah.
make sure you guys are following us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram,
All the
TikTok.
things.
We're at Inhuman underscore podcast. On Facebook, we are Inhuman, a true crime podcast. We try to have like more of a like discussion over there. It's kind of hard to
Yeah.
discuss things on Instagram, but you guys do like send us message and talk about stuff, and we do like that. So keep doing
Yeah.
that.
That was really crazy.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I want to know
I know.
what happened to them. Oh my
This is gonna be
God.
one of those cases that like I think about all the time that keeps me up at night, like
Yeah. I feel like so many that are like that for me, I've heard so many times, so I'm like used to it. You know, like when you told the
yeah.
Bryce Laspezza case, I'm like, okay, I want to know what happened, but I've heard
Right.
that before. Whereas
Yeah.
this one, like, I haven't heard it before, so now I'm like, I need to know more.
I know.
But
I want to know more too. But that's all we have for now. I really hope. I mean, gosh. It's been almost 30 years, like.
I know.
And no evidence.
Wow.
So it would be different if there was like, some blood, some hair,
Right.
some something that they could like. But they
Literally
don't have
nothing.
anything, no.
Wow.
But thank you guys so much for listening, and
Yeah.
until next week, keep it human.
Bye.